This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are speaking with Lori Narona, an award-winning herbalist, certified acne specialist, licensed esthetician since 1997, and an educator for Oncology Spa Solutions. Skin wellness is her passion, and on this episode, she will be covering skincare ingredients to avoid during oncology treatments. Lori, a pleasure to have you back with us here on eHealth Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here again.
And good to have you back, Lori. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say about today's topic. So there's a lot of concern about the ingredients in our personal care products. We've been hearing that a lot here, even on this program. Some say they may be toxic or may contribute to cancer. What should we really be concerned with? Are there any specific ingredients that an oncology patient should avoid as well?
Yeah, there absolutely are, Eric. One of the things to remember is that chemotherapy in particular is designed to destroy cancerous cells. And of course, as a side effect, it destroys skin cells as well. But cancer itself, we don't really know what causes cancer, but we do know that it's an accumulation of DNA damage from lots of different things, environmental things, genetic factors, lifestyle factors, epigenetics, there's all kinds of things that go into it. But in its essence, it's accumulative damage of DNA. And the problem is that there are skincare ingredients, very common ingredients, that are known to cause DNA damage. So the really important thing is, are these products necessarily bad for a healthy person? Probably not. The concern is that when you have a cancer patient, they're already immune compromised, and their body has already reached a point of what I refer to as body burden. So they've already hit a mass load of exposure to something that has already created DNA damage to the point where it's metastasized, it's become cancerous. So why would you put a product that's known to cause DNA damage on someone who's already compromised? And that's really the most important point. When there's other healthier options to choose, why would you do that to someone? I just don't think it's very healthy. That's where I come from.
And what about preservatives? Are they really that important?
Oh, yeah. Preservatives are a huge deal. So when you just remember that oncology patients are immune compromised, which means they're very likely to get sick. Skincare products, unless they're completely strictly oil-based, are going to have some water in it. Anytime you have any kind of water in a preparation, you are opening the doors to bacterial contamination. In other words, germs are going to grow. So bacteria has no smell. When there's bacteria growing in your lotion, you can't smell it. It smells the same, it looks the same, it feels the same until you get a massive infection. If there's yeast or fungus growing, it definitely will change smell. But why take that risk for someone? Just use a preservative. Nobody wants to put mold on their face. That's just gross. So that's it's very important. It could literally mean the matter of life and death for someone.
Also, what's the deal with parabens? Get into that if you would.
Ooh, parabens. Yeah. So parabens are a very, very common preservative, which, as I just mentioned, are quite important. Parabens are ubiquitous. They're actually naturally occurring in plants, and we do eat them on a daily basis. They're used as a very effective, very efficient preservative in a lot of products, and there's several different kinds. There's methylparaben and butylparaben and propylparaben, and for many, many years, they were the commonly accepted preservative that would keep things clean and safe to use for a good 3 years. The problem is, several years ago, there was a study done where breast cancer tumors were dissected, and inside the tumors, they were found to contain parabens. Now, not to raise alarm bells, but correlation does not equal causation, and that's a very important point. So there was no there was nothing about that particular study that said, oh my gosh, parabens cause cancer. That's not what was said. What was found was they were in the tumors. However, how did they get there? Were they in any of the other tissues? How long were they there? Were they causing any problems? We don't really know. Just last year, however, there was another study done that found that when breast cancer tissue was exposed to multiple parabens at the same time, it increased their activity and growth rate. That is a problem. Up until then, the concern was with parabens as well, that they also are estrogen mimics. So they would act like estrogen in the body. And for people who have estrogen-driven cancers, that's a real concern. So we don't really know exactly how it all plays out, but the general consensus was, well, let's just take parabens out of the mix just to be on the safe side. So now there's a lot of additional ingredients that are used as preservatives that are much safer options. Again, if you have a safer option, why not use it? And I think that's what people really need to keep in mind. As far as other ingredients go, there are so many other ingredients that are problematic. The number one is fragrance. In fact, fragrance in general is the number one irritant across the board, the number one. Most people, if they're going to have a reaction, they'll react to fragrance. So we just generally tell people just avoid it in your products, personal care products. Fragrance often contains the number two most highly concerning ingredient, which is phthalates. So phthalates are actually plasticizers, and they're put into products particularly as an ingredient in fragrance, which is why fragrance is so problematic. But phthalates actually show up in the urine of adult women higher than men. And that's, again, because of their personal care products. Women use a ton of personal care products, way more than men. On average, it's about, I want to say it's 12 items per day, and men use about 7 items per day. So we're getting a lot of exposure. One of the other really problematic ingredients is sodium lauryl sulfate, and that's a very common ingredient. It's used as a foaming agent. It's in your shampoo, it's in your body wash, it's in your cleansers, and generally it's not a problem unless it's left on the skin. Generally, it is rinsed off. However, it does cause some problems. One of the biggest ones is it is often contaminated with 1,4-dioxane, which is a known carcinogen. And, of course, it can also cause allergies and immunotoxicity as well. My other big one that I like people to avoid is triclosan. Triclosan is also used as an antimicrobial agent. I'm sure that most people can look on their kitchen counter or kitchen sink and find a bottle of hand wash with triclosan. If it says that it's an antibacterial wash or dish soap or even hand soap, chances are it has triclosan in it. Triclosan even shows up in our toothpaste now, and it's they advertise it for, you know, kills gingivitis. Well, it's triclosan, and triclosan has a lot of issues with it, so much so that the CDC finally banned it in consumer products. So you can still find it, and you can certainly still find it in hospitals where they need to use a higher level of sanitation, but triclosan appears to be damaging our microbiome, particularly on the skin, and it does get into the environment and causes havoc as well and kills a lot of the friendly microflora that we need. So there's also been some research that triclosan may be affecting the thyroid as well. So anybody who has a hypothyroidism, you definitely want to stay away from triclosan, and you want to keep it out of your home. Just washing your hands with plain old soap and water is just as effective. The other thing you want to look at is hand sanitizers also often have triclosan and frequently have fragrance as well. So you're getting a multi-dose. You're getting triclosan, you're getting the fragrance, and almost always phthalates. Another interesting point about phthalates, if you're not sure if they're in your product, if you have a fragranced lotion and you can still smell that fragrance 4 or 5 hours later, you can pretty much be sure it has phthalates, because that's what phthalates do. They hold the fragrance and they keep it for a long time. So it's really good for people who are going through anti-cancer therapies to really take a look at the products that they're putting on their body and just use some judgment and educate themselves a little bit and make some healthy choices. There are lots of alternatives to these products and these ingredients, and they're much easier to find now. Go to your local health food store.
And of course, certainly eye-opening information today. We are speaking with, once again, Lori Narona, an award-winning herbalist, certified acne specialist, licensed esthetician since 1997, and an educator for Oncology Spa Solutions here on eHealth Radio's health news and skincare channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Lori, what kinds of ingredients should someone be looking for, and what are better options?
Oh, so some of the really nice options and nice ingredients to look for would include hydrating agents like hyaluronic acid, which is actually a humectant. It's not the same as an alpha hydroxy acid. It's just the pH level. It's very hydrating. It's naturally occurring in the skin. And fortunately, it is a ubiquitous skincare ingredient. Most products now contain some kind of hyaluronic acid, so that's a big plus. Shea butter is a wonderful, wonderful thick buttery lotion that when melted can put it right onto the skin, and it's gentle and hydrating, and it forms a heavy occlusive barrier, so it's great if you're going to be outside. Jojoba oil, which is technically not an oil, it's a liquid wax, it's from a plant, and it's very similar to our skin's natural sebum, so that's a great addition to your products or your home care. Avocado oil is just wonderful, also very rich and very hydrating. These are ingredients that are pretty commonly found in organic products and so-called natural products, but you definitely need to read the labels as well because, you know, it may include other ingredients. I just found an organic lotion sample that was given to me recently, and when I read the label, everything was great except for the triclosan that was in the ingredient list, which I was quite surprised at.
Certainly has been informative, and we can't thank you enough for all this very important information. How can we learn more in all regards?
So there's lots of online sources for products to find. If you're looking for just some products, you can go to Oncology Spa Solutions and look under Mission Partners. And the companies that we work with also, you know, I wouldn't say they're oncology approved per se, but they're definitely safe to use. So those are some great sources there. But also if you just want to learn more, I definitely recommend going to cdc.gov. and look under biomonitoring, and it will give you information on different ingredients and things that are safe to use. Also, the EWG Environmental Working Group.org on their Skin Deep database, there's some information there. But keep in mind that there's a little bit of fear mongering. I love it. I think it's a wonderful resource, but don't look just there. Look at several places and find your information.
Lori, before you go, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, or a final tip for the listeners today along the lines of our conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking that. I would say the most important thing is to read labels. Definitely read your labels and get some education. You know, it doesn't take a lot of time to just do a quick Google search for skincare ingredients, and don't really believe or buy into all of the marketing hype that you see. Actually do some research, because a lot of companies are vested in you not reading the labels. So do yourself a favor, and also, you know, speak with your dollars. Buy the products that you feel are safer, and you should do okay.
Lori, most helpful information, and again, thanks so much for your time and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio, and look forward to our next conversation. Have a good one.
Great. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
And sounds like a plan. We've been speaking with Lori Narona, an award-winning herbalist, certified acne specialist, licensed esthetician since 1997, and an educator for Oncology Spa Solutions. And for all the details, visit oncologyspasolutions.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.